Today we're going to conclude our series that we started. This is the sixth message on who is the Holy Spirit. Now, many of you have already been asking and have been commenting on this series, and I've gotten a lot of emails. I've gotten a lot of personal messages on Facebook and text, and many of you just telling me personally how much that you have grown and have learned so much about the Holy Spirit and its role in your life. And that's what we want. That's what we believe today, that the Holy Spirit is wanting to have a personal relationship with every one of us here. And so we know that as we talk about the series, that we have learned that it's God the Father, God the Son, and who? God the Holy Spirit. And that we can't take away one from the three. They all go together. Just like we could not take away Jesus from the Father and the Holy Spirit, we could not take away God from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We cannot take the Holy Spirit away from God the Father and God the Son. It's the triune God. He says his name was God the Father, and he was God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Now, later on this year, I'm going to be doing more teaching on who is the Son and who is the Father, and we'll clarify their roles in our life and really see in Scripture so that you'll have a full understanding. I believe there's no other teaching that I've ever done that is so more important to every believer than the full understanding of who the Holy Spirit is for our life, who the Father is, and who the Son. You know, it's the most basic core of our Christian beliefs. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But yet, can we clarify who they are and having an understanding? Other than the series I did on grace, that series on grace and this series on who the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit is, I believe is some of the most important teaching that we need in our Christian walk to really have a full and a level foundation of where God wants us to be. So today we're going to continue and conclude this series. We've been learning that the Holy Spirit is what? Our best friend, right? He is our best friend. We're learning to commune with him daily, that he has a will and emotions, and we need to tap in and learn to communicate with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis in our life. It says that he will guide us into what? All truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us into all truth. So why not understand how important is it for us to tap into the all truth that the Holy Spirit has? Why would we not want to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit if he's going to lead us into all truth? We want to know what God's will is for our life, and we can have that through the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. Today, we're going to answer what I believe the most controversial part of this series. Does he speak in tongues? Does he speak in tongues? See, I believe that in any time that God has something great for us, that Satan will do what he can to distort. Let me say it again. When God has something great in store for the church, that Satan will do anything he can to divide and to distort and to make us afraid about what God's got. And when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit, let me say this, that Satan does not want you, he does not want I, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he knows that when you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're walking in authority over him. And he does not want you to have authority over him. And so he's going to do anything he can to distract. He's going to do anything he can to divert us away from walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe there's no other subject in the church that has divided more churches than when it comes to the Holy Spirit and this thought of, does the Holy Spirit speak in tongues? And some people are afraid of that. Some people are saying, I don't believe in that. I don't know if it's true. Is it really real? Well, today we're just going to look at Scripture as we have all along and see, what does the Scripture say about speaking in tongues? Is it for every believer? Is it only for a select few? And if so, who's it for and how do they use it? Let's talk about it and define it today. Today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 14 in just a minute. And as we do, that's really going to be the basis of our text today. Paul is distinguishing and teaching us the difference between the gift, the spiritual gift of tongues, which we talked about last week. Remember last week we talked about the nine spiritual gifts that come to the church, that the Holy Spirit has nine. Everybody say nine. How many have only been taught one? See, sometimes in our church we've only been taught one spiritual gift or two, but there are actually nine gifts that go along with the Holy Spirit. If you didn't hear that message last week, get online. Listen to that message. Look at the study. about how God has 9 spiritual gifts to go along with the Holy Spirit, and every one of them is for our life. And one of those gifts is the gift of speaking in tongues, which should be interpreted with God's intent of the message. And Paul talked about that gift comes when a group of Christians are together, and those who have that gift of speaking in tongues will give out a message in tongues, which is a language that no one can understand. It's a heavenly language. And then somebody receives the interpretation and gives the intent of what God's wanting to say. And that is appropriate and is to be used when there are only Christians there. It talked about, Paul talked about that when we come together in the church, he says that when you come together and there's people here who are not Christians or people who had never been taught, he says, you don't walk around all speaking in tongues because they will not understand what we're saying. And he talked about the importance of that. Now, if you say, well, Pastor, my church, when I grew up, they always spoke in tongues all the time. Well, I'm not against that, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is this. If you have a church where you have new Christians coming in or people who are not saved, like Destiny Church, we have every week here we have at least 6 to 12 new visitors cards that are turned in. Some of those are whole families. Some of those are single people. But we have a lot of guests coming in. And so it's important that we have a chance to introduce them to the Holy Spirit. This series now is led up to this message. We have had 5 previous messages leading up to this message on speaking in tongues. But if we all walk in, just all start speaking in tongues, and someone who walks in, who needs to be saved, who needs to be in church, and they walk in, they say, I don't understand the word they're saying. They're all speaking a foreign language. Or they're all crazy. They're going to walk out the door and not come back. And so that's what Paul was trying to tell us. He was saying, it's not that it's not important to speak in tongues, but use wisdom when you speak in tongues. If you have a group when it's all Christians and people there are all believers and they have all understanding of the Holy Spirit, then freely speak in tongues as you wish and freely interpret those tongues. Let them be done. That's what he was talking about. But as we get into this, he's talking about the difference between that public use in a group setting of Christians versus the private use of intent, what we call the grace of tongues, which is for every believer, that every one of us can have our own personal heavenly language that he wants to give us. It's for every believer. So let's look at the scripture. Paul he's clarifying the difference between the personal prayer language and the public prayer language. And this is what he's talking about. First of all, number one, as we understand tongues, it is scriptural. We have proof in scripture that it's for us. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to who? Speaks to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So what we see happening here is a prayer language of speaking in tongues is an unknown language that comes to you, and you begin to speak it out while you're praying or as you're worshiping the Lord, and it begins to speak unknown mysteries through the Holy Spirit speaking to the Father. And we'll talk about why that's happening in just a minute. We'll talk about what that means. But first of all, we see clarity here that speaking in tongues is scriptural. It also says it again in 14:18. Verses 14:18 says, for if I pray, look what Paul says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. So when we see the phrase praying in the spirit, he's talking about speaking in tongues. He's talking about praying in tongues, okay? Let's clarify that. But my understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion then? What do we do? He says, well, first of all, I just tell you, what's the conclusion? If I pray in tongues and I don't understand it, so what should I do? He tells us what we should do right here. He says, I will pray in tongues, in the spirit, and I also pray with English. That's what he's saying. Well, you know, today, that's what it translates to you and I. I'll pray in a way that I can understand, and then I'll also pray in the spirit. He says, I will also sing in the spirit. I'll sing sometimes in a spiritual language, and I also will sing in the way I understand. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who comes in to our place of the uninformed say amen to your giving thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed, give thanks to well, but for the others, it's not edified. I thank my God. Look what he says. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So what was Paul saying? Was he saying not to speak in tongues? No, just the opposite here. He said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. So don't get me wrong. He was not trying to put a damper on speaking in tongues. What he was trying to clarify is the right place in tongues for our life. He was saying that this. He said that if we walk into the church and we're all speaking in tongues, then the people who walk in who are uninformed, who do not understand, how are they going to hear what God's saying? But if we walk into the church and we're saying, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. God, you are glorified. God, you are lifted up in my life. God, you're lifted up in my family. God, I thank you that you saved me. God, I thank you that you died for me. God, I thank you that you're forgiving my sins. That people walk in and say, I want that. Yeah, I want that, what they have. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I want Jesus to heal my marriage. I want Jesus to heal my life. I want Jesus to change who I am. He says that when we declare with understanding, we're declaring the praises of our God so that people come in, they see that something's different. Listen, if you're not praising God and you're a Christian, you better wake up and praise the Lord because you have a role, and that role is to bring God honor and glory through our praise. We should declare with every chance we have the greatness of our God. We should declare the salvation power of our God every chance we have. Our voices should be raised. And Paul says, sometimes I sing in the Spirit, sometimes I talk in English. That's all right. You say, how's that? Well, I'll just tell you this. There's been a lot of times in our service I had people who come to me and say, Pastor, even in the middle of our worship time, I started singing in tongues. What is that? I'm like, that's just the Holy Spirit. It happens. Sometimes when you're in tune and, man, you're praising the Lord, the Holy Spirit will just flow out of you and you'll start singing in tongues. And that's okay. That's okay. Let it come. If you want to sing in tongues, that's great. You sing in tongues. That's all right. If you want to sing in English, that's great. You sing in English. But whatever it is, just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he says that it is for us. Let's get to why we should speak in tongues. Why is it relevant to our life? First of all, it's a benefit. Number two, it's a benefit. How many like benefits? How many like jobs with benefits? Isn't that a good thing? You ever worked a job without any benefits? And you worked a job with benefits? Which one's better? We like the benefit. We like the benefits. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies what? Himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, first of all, let's look at the first phrase. He who speaks what? Edifies himself. How many people need edified here today? I need edified. You need edified. We need to edify. When we speak in tongues, we're building up our spiritual man. When we allow the Holy Spirit to speak in a prayer language with us, there is something that happens that it edifies and builds you up. But when we read this verse, if we're not careful, we read it incorrectly because we look at this and say, but, kind of like, you know, but he who prophesies is better. That's kind of what we read that, you know. He who speaks in tongues is just selfish. Just for himself, but he who prophesies, he's better because he edifies the church. And this is not how the scripture translates at all. Matter of fact, we see this word but here, it's used several thousand times in scripture. But it also can be translated, and in this case is translated to the word and as well. And so let's read it differently. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, and he who prophesies edifies the church. He's saying they both are good. One edifies you personally, and the other edifies us corporately. He's talking about they're both are good for us, okay? It's not that one is better than the other, but they all, both are equally as important. This is what he's trying to tell us here in 1 Corinthians 14:4. Let's look at what Ephesians 6:13 through 18 says. I love this story. Many of you have heard the story. Since you was a kid, maybe you heard the story of putting on the whole armor of God. Remember when they wear the helmet and the shield, and they teach you. And just, all right, this goes along with the story. Let's read the scripture. Therefore, take up the, everybody say the whole armor of God. Everybody say the whole. That means the all of it. It didn't say take up part of the armor of God. It didn't say take up just the part you like. It says that we are to take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having girded your waist up with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And look what he says here. Don't forget this one here. Sometimes we stop at the full armor of God, but this is a part of the full armor of God. Praying always with all prayer and with what? Prayers in the what? Spirit. He's saying speaking in tongues is a part of the armor of God. Have you ever realized that? No, I didn't realize. That's what it is. We go around talking about putting on the whole armor of God, then you need to say, let's put on the whole armor of God. I mean, if I'm going to go to battle, I want every weapon I can get. I want every advantage I can get. I want to get out my spiritual machine gun and let it rip, man. I want to have it, man. I want to have every weapon that God has given to me to fight the battle, to defend myself spiritually, that he's given us the full armor of God, and speaking in tongues is a benefit. It's a part of the weapons that he's given us of our warfare. Look what Jude 1:20 says. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. Everybody say building yourselves up. Building yourselves up on what? Your most holy faith. Praying how? In the Holy Spirit. See, this is how we build ourselves up. So this is the question I have for you. How many here can say, Pastor, I don't need to be built up anymore? I've already reached all the blessing that God has for me. I've already reached the pinnacle. I don't need anything else in my life spiritually. None of us here can say that. If you are a fool, okay? Because every one of us need more of God every day of our life. Every one of us need to be edified every day of our life. We need more of God's power. We need more of God's Spirit in us operating. And so how do we get that? It says that we edify ourselves when we pray in the Holy Spirit. When you're speaking in tongues, he says that you are learning to commune with God, and it's edifying yourself. It's building your spiritual man up. It builds us up. And so we all need spiritually built up. All of us can say that we need to be built up. Amen? We all need to be built up. None of us have reached all that we need. And the third thing here, it's a choice. Simply, it's a choice. Speaking in tongues is a choice. 1 Corinthians 14:14, look what it says. Paul said, we already read it a while ago, I will pray in the Spirit. I choose. That's what he said. I choose to pray in the Spirit. See, we must yield by faith to the Holy Spirit when it comes to speaking in tongues. Now, some of you have asked, what does it really sound like? Or I've tried it before, or I've heard it before, and it just doesn't make sense to me. You start praying, and all of a sudden you feel the Holy Spirit coming on you, and you want to speak it out, and it sounds kind of like this, maybe one syllable or two syllables, and it sounds kind of like, you know, kind of like gibberish, you know? It's kind of, you know, just sound like la, 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 or something like that. You're like, what is that, you know? It doesn't make any sense, so it can't be of God, right? Right? True. I mean, we have a hard time understanding it because we just don't come out speaking it fluently, and it's just like a hard thing to understand. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you come out speaking great English when you first started talking as a child? How many have children who come out and they're quiet, and then all of a sudden one day they wake up, they have never been talking before, and they're like, oh, Mom, could you please reheat this bottle? The temperature's not quite right. Please put it in the microwave for another 20 seconds. And could you please add some oatmeal? I'd like to sleep a little longer tonight. And this diaper, you are using the wrong brand. I like Huggies a lot better. Those generic brands you're buying are giving me a rash, Mom. Mom, give me a band that's bigger and more comfortable. It doesn't leak, okay? And please, use Johnson & Johnson. The other powder, it really chaps my hide. It doesn't happen, does it? No, what it say? Learn to talk. When my oldest son and oldest daughter were just kids, Preston and Melissa, I think I have a picture here showing it. Look at that picture right there. Oh, look at that. Nothing like embarrassing your son in the military. Yeah, son, there you go. He's about 10, 11 months old in that picture there. And Preston, like any baby, was learning to talk. He would talk and like, ba ba da ba ba da ba da ba da ba da. And he actually talked that way a little bit longer because he had a problem with his ears, and he actually had tubes in his ears. And so it took him about 4 years old before we could really understand him clearly. But one of the things that was funny was that when he was just a baby, he'd be at the table, and he'd be trying to talk to us, you know. And we'd all be eating, and he'd be like, and Melissa will be eating, his older sister, and go, he wants some more macaroni and cheese. And I'm like, no, he wants some green beans. And we give him some green beans, and he goes, nah! Nah! No, 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 no! Give him some macaroni and cheese, and he goes, ah, yeah, 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 no, 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 no. And she's like, I told you so. You see, Preston was speaking in tongues. And Melissa had the interpretation right there. We can accept it with our children. We can accept it with children, but we have a hard time accepting it in our spiritual walk. You see, now I wonder if God doesn't sometimes just use these things to teach us. It's really not that far-fetched to understand. It's a part of our everyday life. When you start speaking in tongues for the first time, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to come out speaking like, whoa, you know, it's not going to be an angelic choir. It's going to be by faith. You start speaking it out, and you're going to be trying. You're feeling a tug in your heart and your spirit to pray a certain way, and you're going to say a few syllables, and that's okay. I just tell you this, the more you do it, the more it comes to you natural, and the more you begin to develop, the more bold it becomes in your life. And it will come to you. It'll come to you. But don't be afraid. It comes by faith. When you pray, do you pray by faith? Yes. So think about it. When you pray, you know, if somebody walked by and just heard you praying, you know, they're like, you know, who are they talking to, man? Well, you have faith that as you pray that what? God hears you, right? You have faith. As I pray, my prayers are going to the throne of God. God is hearing my prayers, and he's working and interceding on my behalf. Even when I don't see it, I know that God's doing something in the spirit. It's the same thing, you know. We had a friend of ours who, in college, that we used to love to sit outside his door. We were talking about Jerry. Me and Jerry did this very thing. We would sit outside this guy's dorm room at college, and he would be pacing the floor screaming out his prayers. He'd be like, God, he always talked about his girlfriend. So we always loved to listen. So he was like, God, you know me and her are meant to be together, and it's going to last forever, God. And he just, you know, we listening to him, we just started rolling because we knew it was only going to last about 2 weeks. But still, that was what she was with every guy, about 2 weeks. So this anyway, it happened that way. And so we knew that, but you know, if someone goes by and you're praying and hears you pray, you know, it's kind of silly, isn't it? I mean, but when you know in your heart, you know what, my prayers are going to the throne of God by faith. I know that God hears me. I know that God is listening to my prayers, and God's going to take my prayers, and he's going to answer my prayers according to his will. And so we pray by faith. That's the same thing. When I pray in the Spirit, I pray by faith. God, I'm feeling this coming on. I feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me to pray in this personal prayer language as it's coming. It's just a few syllables, and maybe you just speak it out, a few syllables, and that's okay. That's okay. Just do it. Whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, whether you're in the middle of worship right here, if you feel it coming to you, just begin to speak it out. Begin to pray it out and let the Holy Spirit bring it out of you. It's a choice. It's just not going to overtake you, okay? You're not going to, well, Pastor, I'm afraid if I do that, it's just going to overtake me. And I'm going to be driving and getting the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to pull over and grab the cop car and grab his intercom and start speaking in tongues all across the neighborhood, and everybody's going to hear me. It's not going to, you choose, okay? I can choose to pray in tongues. I can choose to pray in the Spirit. It's just not going to overtake me. I may feel a very strong pull to yield to that. I may feel a very strong pull to pray in the Spirit, but I choose to, by faith, enter into that obedience and pray in the Spirit. When I pray, it is edifying myself. It's my spirit man praying for me. I can tell you there's been times that I've gone through things in my life that I didn't know how to pray. I'd prayed every prayer I could pray. I've said every prayer I could pray, and I'm like, God, I had nothing else left to say. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? You prayed every prayer you can pray. And it's those times that when I allowed the Holy Spirit to pray for me, that it began to edify me. I just knew that the Holy Spirit was praying for me. It was speaking on my behalf, and it was building me up. It was those times that it happened. I was praying in the Spirit that, man, I just felt, God, you are listening to me. God, you are ministering to me. God, you are hearing the cries of my heart. My spirit man is praying for the Father for me. It's a choice. It's a choice. You've heard me use the example before, just like when I walk by an offering basket, that a check is not just going to jump out of my pocket and jump into the offering basket. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to jump. Hey, man, I got the spirit of giving. Wow. No, if I want to have the spirit of giving, I got to take my checkbook out and choose to write a check. I got to choose to write a large check, right? If I'm going to preach it, might as well do it good. All right, if I'm going to preach it, I got to choose to write a check and put it in there and say, God, I choose to operate in the spirit of giving. I choose to do that. The same thing. I'm going to choose to operate. One of the things that we see in Scripture, I love this Scripture. Matter of fact, it's in Luke 11. Luke 11, 11 through 13. Jesus was talking. And I believe that more from that time, he was speaking right to us today. He had 2,000 years ahead in concept when he was speaking the story. Jesus said, if a son asks for bread from a father and among you, he will give him a stone? No. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, the way it says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Because there's a false teaching out there that some people have heard before that says this, that you got to be careful. If you open yourself up to that, you might receive a bad spirit. You start trying to yield, you might receive a bad spirit. And I believe Jesus 2,000 years ago was saying, oh, listen, I'm going to go fast forward here. For all those who have heard that teaching, listen, you're not going to ask for the Holy Spirit and you're going to receive a bad spirit. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive the goodness of the Holy Spirit. He was leaving that for you and I to read today. He was reading that for you and I to be built up and knowing it. Well, just ask. God, I want to receive all of your Holy Spirit. God, I want to receive everything your Holy Spirit has for me. He's going to give it to you. God, I want to receive all nine of your gifts of the Spirit. God, I want to receive the gift of praying in the Spirit. I want to receive that gift. So my personal man, he's going to give it to you. It's awesome. It's for our benefit. In closing today, some of you have heard my story about me being filled with the Holy Spirit and actually speaking in tongues for the first time. I shared the story before when I was just not quite a teenager. I thought I was really close to about 11, 12 years old. I was in church, and I was raised in a church where they had right intentions, but not always the right way of doing things. And one of the things they did was that one person came up to me and started praying for me to receive speaking in tongues. And they put their hands on me, and they start praying for me. And pretty soon, somebody else comes on one side, and another person comes on the other. And I got one person yelling in my ear, just let go, son, just let go. The other person's yelling, just hold on, just hold on. Which one do I do? Let go, hold on, I don't know. And then three turns into five, and five turns into seven, and pretty soon I got a dozen people surrounding me. They're like, this kid really needs Jesus, hallelujah. I mean, no, I probably did. I really didn't need it. That's why they were like, we're going to let this kid go until he's speaking in tongues, full of the Holy Spirit. And so they were surrounding me, and I began to panic. I was like, these people are freaking me out. I am claustrophobic. Don't get up in my face like that unless you want to get hit. I'm just telling you, don't do that, okay? Just like, they were surrounding me, man, and they were just coming on me. I was like, you know what? And they were not going to let me go until I spoke in tongues. And so I named off every Japanese motorcycle I could think of. Hyundai, you know, Kawasaki, Yamaha. Who tied my bow tie? Let me out of here. You know, let me go. And I just kind of, yeah. And I was like, I will never, ever do that again. That's why I said, I will never, ever do that again. Those people are weird, and they are freaking me out, and I am never going to do that again. But later on in my life, I remember being in college, and as I began to study the Word of God, and study the book of Acts, and study Corinthians, and seeing where speaking in tongues was such a powerful part of every believer's life, and I had the right, healthy, balanced looking at things, so I was like, God, this is of you. I know this is of you, and I because of a bad experience, I've blocked you away, and I haven't experienced this part of my Christian walk because of a bad experience. I began to pray that God would fill me with the Holy Spirit fresh and anew. I prayed that God would give me a spiritual language that I could pray in a heavenly language. And right there in my dorm room, no one around, no one listening to me, I just felt it coming on. I began to say it out. It's a few syllables. I began to speak in tongues and a few syllables. And then the next time I prayed, it became a little stronger. And then next time I was in chapel in a worship service, and I began to worship the Lord. And as I was singing, I just began to sing, and I could just feel my spirit singing in a different language. I was like, wow, this is awesome, God. This is so awesome. I could feel my spirit praying. I could feel your Holy Spirit even closer and empower me, and it edified me. And I began to pray powerfully in tongues at different times in my life. When it was necessary, I just felt the Holy Spirit praying for me. Today, I just say to you, if you've had a bad experience, don't shield it off. It's for your life today. If you've been taught that it's wrong, I say, don't shield it off. I'm asking you today to say, you know what? I want everything that the Holy Spirit has for my life. Do I have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? Don't worry about that, okay? So, I want you to stand on your feet. Matter of fact, stand on your feet. I'm going to invite you to, as we come to the conclusion of this series, I want to, We're going to end with a song today. So could you just come to the front and join me around the front today? I'm going to invite you to come around the front. Just kind of stand around the front here. We're going to close out. We like to close out our series, especially this way. Just a personal time with the Lord. Making it personal. God, I want to receive everything your Holy Spirit has for me today. There you go. Scoot in, guys. Scoot a little closer so they can get in around the backs of you there. Some of you may just spread out to the corners a little bit long, a lot more. Come on in. Spread it to the center as well. Let me tell you this. I believe today that God is wanting us to receive everything that he has for us, including the gift of speaking in tongues. That's for us today. But I don't want anybody here to say, you know what? I don't speak in tongues. God doesn't like me. No, God loves you just as much as he loves the person who speaks in tongues, okay? And it's because maybe you haven't got that gift yet to work in your life. Don't say, well, God doesn't love me, or I'm not saved. You know, no, that's not it at all. Sometimes we have mental blockage there that we have to work around, and we got to seek a little harder to let our spirit man connect with what's going on in our brain. But you know what? Today, how many just say, you know what, Pastor? I want to receive every gift that the Holy Spirit has for me. How many would raise your hands? That's me. I want to receive every gift. Yeah.
Amen.
See, we don't have to be afraid of any gift. I'm here to tell you that speaking in tongues is a part of that gift. And for many of you here, you've received that. Many of you here, I know, you speak in tongues already. You pray in tongues. And that's great. I encourage you. But you know what? You need it more than one time.
Yes.
Because you did it one time doesn't mean that you don't have to do it again. See, God wants to give us an outpouring of his Holy Spirit daily in our life. He wants to renew it into our heart. And we don't have to say, well, I did it one time. I'll do it again. No. It's something I use in my spiritual walk daily. Something I can use in my prayer time. It edifies me up. Well, I need to be edified. I can tell you there's been times when nobody else could edify me. Nobody else could do what the Holy Spirit could do. 20 minutes alone with the Holy Spirit, ministering and feeling that prayer language going up between me and God. I tell you what, I come out of there a spiritual giant. Feeling like, you know what, my day is turned around. God, you are working for me. God, I know you are for me. It changes your concept. It changes your outlook. And so today, I'm just going to pray over. We're going to sing this song in just a minute. As we sing this song, it simply says, we cry out for our nation. We cry out for our land. And it says also, send your power. Fill us with your power. Send revival. Revival is a symbolic of the breath of God coming. That's his Holy Spirit. So as we cry out today, I want to simply say, God, I want to receive every gift you have for me. I want us to raise our hands and say, God, I want to receive every gift I have for me. Today, God, we cry out. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your Holy Spirit today, God, fresh and anew. Come on, let's sing it together.
We cry out for this nation. We cry out for this land. Fill us now with your power. Send revival. Send revival. We cry out for this nation. We cry. We cry out
with our hands raised to the Lord. Father, right now, Lord, I just pray. Oh, Lord, you begin to send an outpouring of your Holy Spirit fresh and anew. God, I pray that right now, no longer will we run from the gifts of your Spirit. But God, I pray right now that God, I pray as tongues of fire would set upon your people, that God, you would allow the Holy Spirit to set upon us fresh and anew, rebaptizing us fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. God, right now, Father, I pray right now, God, your Holy Spirit is coming now like a flood. And God, it's raining on your people, God. It's coming on your people. So, Father, it's with our hands open, with our hearts open right now that we cry out that your Holy Spirit would come, that your Holy Spirit would renew, that your Holy Spirit come and refresh, empowering us, God, to be the people you're calling us to be. We say yes to your Holy Spirit. Come on, cry out to the Lord today. Make a noise unto the Lord today. Come on.
For this nation, we cry out. For this nation, fill us now with your power, Lord. Sin revival, Lord. Cry out, O Lord. Oh, we cry out for this name. Fill us now with your power. Sin revival, sin revival.
Just grab the hand of the person next to you. Could you just grab the hand of the person next to you? If you just raise it up to the Lord together, can you raise your hands up connected together? Father, right now, Lord, with our hands connected, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now, Father, for Destiny Church, Lord, I pray for every believer here today. Lord, we are hungry. God, we are thirsty for more of you in our life. God, we want more of your Holy Spirit outpouring in our lives. And God, I pray right now that, God, you pour it out fresh and anew in our life. As we pray for our brother and sister today, God, may the power of the Holy Spirit come alive in our life. God, we pray today that the power of the Holy Spirit be released in our life today. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak freedom in your spirit today. I speak freedom from all fear. And God, may you baptize us now. Fresh in the new, in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we say yes, Lord. And we say yes, Lord. And we say yes, Lord. Come on, one more time. We cry out.
We cry out for this nation. We cry out for this land. Fill us now with your power. Sin revival, sin revival. We cry out for this nation. We cry out for this land. Fill us now with your power. Sin revival, sin revival.
Well, listen, this is just the beginning. Just the beginning. For many of you, it's just the beginning of a new journey. As you continue to say, yes, Holy Spirit, I'm following your lead in my life. Yes, Holy Spirit, I want to unwrap every gift you have for my life. No longer to live in fear of something I don't know about, but now I'm coming to a full understanding. Yes, now I'm coming to an understanding. How many know where the truth is? What? It sets you what? Free. How many know when we preach the truth of the gospel, it'll set you free? When we apply the truth of the gospel, it sets you free. Some of you have had fears, not having a full understanding. And today, I say you're released of that in Jesus' name. You're going to walk in the new power. You're going to walk in the new power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. As you say yes to the Holy Spirit. Turn to somebody and give them a high five or give them a hug and say, man, I'm walking in a new power. I'm walking in a new power today. It's the Holy Spirit. God bless you so much. We'll see you tonight.